Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up and just praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's put our hand together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise Him. Thank you. I don't know what it is with people, but when we say, let's put our hands together for Jesus, people are like, should I clap or shouldn't I clap? Or people don't pay attention. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here. Now, let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ, somebody. Hallelujah. Well, we can get a better shout when somebody dunks the basketball or makes a touchdown. Any time of the day and twice on Monday night, make a touchdown, you can get a better shout. Now, let's try that again. Let somebody give a lot of praise in the house. Hallelujah. Give a lot of praise in the house, somebody. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him some praise in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You this morning. We give You the praise and the glory. And I get somebody to say amen. Lord, You are worthy and You are holy, Lord. You are worthy to receive our praise. Hallelujah. And the Bible says the 24 elders, they cast down their crowns before the Lord. Hallelujah. They say our crowns are like but dung in His presence. Amen. And Paul said the same thing, that I might know Him. Hallelujah. The power of His resurrection. And those things that I've already attained before, I count them like dung, that I may gain Christ. Hallelujah. And I may know even more about the Lord. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name. Say amen. Amen. Now, let's sit down and listen to this message. I want to talk today about God requires fruitfulness. Amen. God requires fruitfulness. And I'm going to be teaching. I'm not going to be doing my usual preaching and screaming and stuff. I'm going to be teaching. So I'm going to take it easy. I want us to understand this. God requires fruitfulness. We're going to start in the book of Genesis. We spoke about this a little bit last week. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 28. We laid the foundation last week that God has brought us under new management. But let's see what God actually requires of us under this new management. He requires fruitfulness. Genesis 1 and 28. We see God's pronunciation here for man. Here's what the Lord said. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, and this is the first thing that God ever said to man, the very first thing, be fruitful and multiply. Amen? And replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. We've spent a lot of time talking about that today, but I want to talk about the be fruitful part. We've talked about having the dominion and all of these things and so on. But I want to talk about be fruitful. Now, if you are awake and you are with me in this service today, let me hear you say amen. Amen. All right. Be fruitful. That's what we want to talk about today. So God requires fruitfulness. And we see that the Bible phrases it as a blessing. He said, bless them, because He conferred upon them the ability to have dominion. He conferred upon them the ability to be fruitful and to increase and to multiply. But it was also a commandment. So I want to talk about the commandment portion. Last week we talked about the blessing part, you know, how God gave us all these wonderful promises and so forth like that. You know, today we're going to talk about the commandment to be fruitful. Hallelujah. So it's not just a blessing. Yeah, it is a blessing, but it was also a commandment to be fruitful. Now, so we're going to be talking about that. I have many scriptures to read, and I'm going to read them carefully, and I want you to follow. And some of these scriptures illustrate various points. There are some stories in the gospel that talk about the same thing, but they bring out different angles of the same thing. So we're going to be talking about that. Let me start right off the bat with the book of Hebrews chapter 6. Turn quickly. Hebrews chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 7 and 8. Now, this is the principle. For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh often upon it, and bringeth forth herbs or fruits, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. Now, so let's break down that verse. The earth that is receiving rain, if it's bringing forth good fruit, it gets a blessing from God. But look at the next verse. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now, these two pieces of ground, the same rain is falling on them both. The rain that falls on the ground that's going to produce good fruit is the same exact rain that falls on the weeds. Are you still with me, folks? It's not a different kind of rain. Now, the weeds and the thorns and the briars, they bring forth something that is nigh unto cursing and useless, and their end is to be burned. But the same rain, when it falls on some ground, and that ground is bringing forth what the person that is dressing that ground expects, the Bible says there's a blessing on it. Amen. God blesses it. So, I want you to keep that in your mind as we go through this teaching today. We're putting a dichotomy between, you know, the fruitfulness that brings a tremendous blessing from God and the barrenness or unfruitfulness. So that is the basis of the message. Now, let's go and read some stories in the Bible. Like I said, there are several stories that illustrate this point, and each one of them carries a slightly different viewpoint and brings one thing or the other. In the book of Mark, chapter 11, a famous story here that many of us know, but there are some viewpoints we want to bring out. I will start at verse 12 of Mark 11. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he, being Christ, was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered. What do you mean answer? What's the question? Well, Jesus is talking to that situation. Jesus answered and said unto the tree, no man eat fruit of thee henceforth forever. And the disciples heard what he said. So some time goes by, they will go along and so forth, and then the next day they come back in verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from its roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed yesterday is now withered away. And then the Lord proceeded to tell him some of these famous things which we've quoted over and over again, that if you shall say with your mouth and you don't doubt it, but you believe that those things that you say will come to pass, that you shall have what you said and all of those things. But that's not the part that we're interested in. The part that we're interested in is that Jesus came to this fig tree and found no fruit. Now, Jesus said to the Laodiceans, if you were cold, or hot, I can deal with that. But because you are lukewarm, what did he say I'm going to do? I'm going to spew you. Because lukewarm doesn't taste good. You drink your coffee. I don't drink coffee. You drink it cold or hot. Lukewarm taste has no taste. You know, so when he came to this tree, the Bible says he saw this tree having leaves. So it had the appearance that he was doing something, but he was doing nothing. Now, in this case, Jesus was just going there as a man. He wasn't going there, you know, as God. He was just going there as a man, first of all, because he saw the thing. The thing looked like it had fruit, okay? And he went towards it, but it didn't have any fruit. But notice the commentary that was put in the bottom, the last line of verse 13. For the time of the figs was not yet. It wasn't even yet time. But this tree had the appearance. If this tree had been dry, Jesus would not have even gone close to it. Because he would see that the thing has no leaves. It's barren already. So it's dead. It's either cold or hot. But this tree looked lukewarm. It had leaves, it had bunches. It looked like it had something in it. So Jesus came close to it and he found nothing. And he was disappointed. See? And he is the master. Praise the Lord. That's right. He is the master. And he said to that tree, because you did not produce fruit when I came to you, nobody, because see, there's only one thing that that tree was good for. As far as the Lord was concerned. Bring forth fruit so that people can eat of it. You know. Well, he didn't do, the tree wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. So the Lord said, that's it. You are done. Nobody is going to eat of you again. And presently, the tree withered. Now, Jesus was requiring fruit. Now, some people say, well, but it wasn't time. Well, it's always time for the Lord. Amen. The Bible says, be instant, in season, and out of season. The Lord is the master. He can come at any time. You can't say, well, it's not yet harvest. He knew it wasn't yet harvest. But he went anyway. Because the tree had an appearance. It would have been better for that tree to have been dead and withered away. Then the Lord would not have even bothered himself. But because he looked like he was doing something, you see, he said to the church in Smyrna, he said, look, you have the appearance of being alive, but you are dead. You know. So they had the appearance of leaves and bunches and looked like fruit, but it really didn't have any fruit. Now, folks, if you are taking notes, write this down. The fruit that God is looking for is what we must bear, not what we think. See, you can be bearing a different kind of fruit, but that's not what he's looking for. And we are going to find out here today. He is looking for something. And if he doesn't find that thing, whatever else you are doing doesn't mean anything. Praise the Lord. This tree was there. Maybe it was giving shade to some people and doing things and so forth. Well, that didn't mean anything. When Christ came to it and there was no fruit on that day, that tree was done. Cursed it and it was done. Now, Jesus didn't need to say a curse word. His own kind of curse is different. All he says is, well, because you did not produce fruit and because your purpose is to produce fruit, then you are done. You will not get another chance to do that purpose. You are finished. Nobody will eat of you anymore. And it was finished. Now, that's a serious situation. Are you still with me, folks? He came, he required fruit, he found none. Let's take a look at some other stories. There are many stories in the Bible. Moving right along. In the book of Matthew, chapter 21. Matthew, chapter 21. Let's start at verse 33. Now, there are many stories like this one that we're about to read, but each one will bring out its own viewpoint. So, Matthew 21, let's start at verse 33. And another parable, he said unto them, say, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about. And he digged a wine press in it, and so forth. And he said he built even a tower, and all that. And he put husbandmen there to look after it, and he went into a far country. Now, look at verse 34. And when the time of the fruit drew near, this time it was actually a time of fruit. The other one, it wasn't yet the season, but it came anyway. Now, this time was actually the time of the fruit. When the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruit of it. Now, remember, God requires fruitfulness. So he wants the fruit. And the husbandman, they did this, and they ill-treated them, and so forth and so on. Killed everybody that he sent. Even when he finally sent his son, they killed him. They said, well, this is the heir, let's kill him. Read the whole story, but I don't have time to read it all. So, finally, they said in verse 40, when the Lord, therefore, of that vineyard cometh, what shall he do unto those husbandmen that were put there to dress the garden? He asked the people that he was telling the parable to. He said, he did all these things. They killed them all. He sent his son. They said, well, they will respect my son. They said, ah, this is the son. Let's kill him. So they killed him. He said, what will they do? This is the answer that the people gave with their own mouth. The people said unto him that he will miserably destroy those wicked men. And he will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render the fruits in their seasons. Amen. The common people and the Pharisees, with their own mouth, Jesus asked them, what do you think will happen? And they gave their own judgment that because those people did not bring forth the fruit that they were hired to do, going to miserably destroy them. Hire it out. And I think, put that in mind. God is requiring fruit. Let's see Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. And let's read from verses 6 to 9. Now here's a similar story. He spake unto them a parable. A certain man, you know, had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. A different kind of story, but similar. And he came and sought fruit thereon, but he found none. Then he said unto now, notice, this is a, every one of these stories I'm going to read today, even though they look similar, they have different viewpoints that we're going to bring out. This one is slightly different. Listen to what he said. He said to the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years, kind of seemed like when Jesus was there, you know, I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree. Kind of reminds you of Israel and so forth. And to find fruit, but he's not bringing, he said, look, cut it down. Why is it cumbering the earth? Why is it taking up space in the earth? Cut it down. Remember Jesus one time said, look, ye are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its savor, what shall it be done with it? What shall it be done? Cast it out, that it may be trodden under foot, because it's no longer useful. Now, if the tree is not doing its thing, say, cut it down. Why is it cumbering the earth? Why is it taking up space? And the guy answered, the dresser said, look, just give it one more chance. Let me dress it one more year, and let me do some things with it, and see if it will bring forth fruit. And if after that, it still doesn't bring forth fruit, then cut it down. Okay? And he said, all right. And he said, you know, I'll dress it one more year and so forth. And if it bear fruit, you know, that's verse 9, then well. But if not, then cut it down. You see that there's a slightly different twist to this story. It's in this story he's saying, look, why even wait? You know, say, well, but give it a little chance. Okay. So, now, that may apply to some of us today. You know, perhaps somebody already said in the court of heaven, cut it down. What are they wasting time for? They're not doing what I asked them to do and so forth like that. Well, maybe somebody else also said, hey, give them a little time. Give them one more chance. Now, maybe you'll get another chance to actually get up and start producing fruit after today. Amen? Because, you know, there is an opportunity. One more chance, he said here. All right, let's move on. Here's another story in the book of Luke chapter 20. Each one of these, like I said, has, you know, various aspects to it. Luke chapter 20. Let's look at verse 9. Starting at verse 9, he spoke unto them this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard. This is similar to the one we read in Matthew. And he went to a country for a long time. Went to a far country, came back, you know, to come back later. And at the season, see, this one also said at the season, he sent a servant to the husbandmen to do, you know, same kind of thing, get the fruit and all of that. They sent them empty, they beat them, they did this, they did that, and all that. And at the end, listen to how he said it. In verse 15, after they killed the heir, which is the son, Jesus said unto them. But in this case, we are told that it looks like Jesus answered the question himself. You know, what therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto those people? Well, he shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. You know, so in this case, the person who's reporting this story, they reported it slightly differently. This one thought that, you know, the answer Jesus gave, the other one thought the people said. But look at one thing that the people said this time. You know, when Jesus said that, and when they heard it, those that stood by, they said what? God forbid. God forbid. It won't happen like that. So they actually, the thing struck them because he said, look, he's going to take it away from them, give it to somebody and say, ah, God forbid. So take note of their reaction. Now, God forbid means, well, let it not be so. But for it not to be so, you've got to change something. Praise the Lord. So take note of that. It will be so if you don't change something, because you know, if they say it shouldn't be so, then they better change something. Okay. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 25. Just a bunch of stories and parables that Jesus told that we want to use to illustrate this point. Matthew chapter 25. In this chapter, starting at verse 14, we're going to see a parable again that Jesus told. He said, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man traveling into a far country. Now, this is a different kind of story now. We're going to read two of it, one here and one in Luke, just to see, you know, some aspects. Now, so this is a different one, you know, the story of the talents and so forth, the one we're about to read now. So, he called his servants to them and distributed unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man, notice this please, he gave to every man according to his several ability. Because he already knew the ability. He knew that the one that could handle 1 talent, that's all he could handle, so he gave him 1 talent. He knew that this one could handle 2, so he gave him 2. He knew the other one could handle 5, so he gave him 5. Well, and then he left. Now, the one that had received the 5, he went and traded, and he earned 5 more. Likewise, the one that had received the 2, he went and traded and earned 2 more. Remember, according to their several ability. The one that received 2 did not earn 5. Amen? Amen, folks? They both got 100%. They did 100% of their ability. The one that had 5 produced 5. The one that had 2 produced 2. But the one that had 1, he looked at the one that had 2, and he looked at the one that had 5, and he said, well, gee, why does that person have more gifts than I? Why am I have only this little thing? I can't do it. I mean, why am I not like that? But remember, it was according to his ability, and he failed to remember that. And he said, well, I'm not going to do anything. You know, he started comparing himself with others instead of doing what he could with what he had. So he didn't do it. And he went and buried his talent. You know the story. When the day of reckoning came, he called them. The one that had received the 5 came and said, Master, I have gained 5 more. Ah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord was happy. You know, when he returned after a long time. Then he told them, you know, he said, And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Now he's going to promote him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, folks. That's right. If God starts you out with something little and you are faithful, he's going to promote you. But if you are not faithful, well, let's find out what happens. You have been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to make you to be ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And you will notice that both the one that had five and got five more, and the one that had two and had two more, they got exactly the same reward. Exactly the same commendation in this particular story. He told them the same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant, and so forth. And then here comes the one that had received the one. And he began to chide his master and say, well, you know, because you only gave me one, and you didn't give me, you know, like all the others, and I know that you are a hard man. Look at verse 24. I knew that you are a hard man. See? And you like to reap where you don't sow. Can you imagine? He's telling his master that you like to reap where you don't sow and so forth. You know, therefore I chose not to do anything. So I went and buried it. You know, and I didn't do anything, he said. You know, now, you know, here's what you gave me. And the Lord answered unto him and said, thou wicked and slothful. Slothful, lazy. See, laziness is what makes people give excuse and compare themselves with others. Hello, folks. Because they don't want to do anything, they will start blaming it on, well, I'm not like that other person. I don't have those kind of gifts like the other person. No, you already have what God taught that you could do. Hallelujah. According to their several ability. That's what God taught you could do, and that's what he already gave you. But if you're not using it, use it or lose it. Use it. Everybody say, use it. Bring fruit up. Bring forth fruit. Or lose it. That's right. You use it to bring forth fruit or lose it. So, this man that didn't do anything, the Lord said to him, well, thou knowest that I was a hard man. I was an austere man. I reap where I don't sow and all. With your own word, you said that. Well, if that's the case, why didn't you then put my money somewhere in the bank and let it earn interest for me since I'm doing nothing? Now, he didn't do it. Say, take therefore the talent from him and give it to the one that had 10. Hallelujah. For he that hath shall be given more. And he that hath not shall be taken from him even that which he thinks he has. Now that is a very serious situation, folks. The person that is producing fruit, God will make sure they are producing even more fruit. He will give them even more. Hallelujah. The one that is not doing anything, it might even be taken from them, the little talent that they had and they were wasting, might be taken from them. Now, that's that story. Now let's see, and he said, cast the servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and what? Gnashing of teeth. Now, that's not a situation that anybody wants to be in. All because he didn't produce fruit. I mean, did he go into sin? I mean, are we told that he started living a sinful life? Why am I going to cast him into darkness? Because he did not produce fruit. Folks, this is a serious subject. If you are just sitting down and you are not producing fruit, you better be listening today. Because people can be cast into outer darkness with gnashing and weeping, gnashing of teeth and weeping, just for not producing fruit. Hello, folks. That's the story. Let's see another rendition of the same story. Let's look at it quickly here in Luke chapter 19. And bring out one more viewpoint. Luke chapter 19, verses 12 through about 26 or so. Let me start at verse 12. Luke 19 and verse 12. So, same kind of story, but there's one other viewpoint we want to bring out. A certain nobleman, you know, and so forth, went to a country to receive for himself, you know, a kingdom. And he will return. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, folks. I go to prepare a place for you. And when I am gone, I will come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's right. He said, look, don't be afraid. I'm going to prepare a place. When it's ready, I'm coming to get you. So he went to receive a kingdom, and then he's coming back. Now, there's something at the end of verse 13 that I want to bring out in this particular case. And he called his 10 servants. Now, this story is a little bit different. And he, you know, delivered unto them, you know, 10 pounds. You know, just gave them anyhow. We don't know. Maybe it's one pound to each of the 10. Slightly different story. And he said to them something, which is the part I want to bring out here. Occupy, what? Occupy till I come. That's the reason I'm reading all these stories. Even though they are similar, you might say, oh, they are all the same. No, each one brings something slightly different out. In this case, he say, occupy till I come. Don't say the Lord is coming tomorrow. Occupy. Amen, folks? I remember that when we were in the 70s, some people said the Lord was coming, so they started not to occupy anymore. Well, this is 2016, and we are still here. Hallelujah. Because God has long suffering. And it's like that, you know, servant that stepped out and said, give them a little more time. You know, and then after a while, they still don't do anything and cut them down. You know, so maybe God's giving a little more time. There's many reasons why things are delayed. Well, first of all, nobody knows the time or the hour. Amen. Second of all, God wants to weary out that bunch of unbelief. That's right. While they've gone around in the wilderness for so many years, he wears them out. And he'll be left with a few at the end. That's how God always does his thing. Read the story of Gideon. Started out with 32,000. He wore them out. He weeded them out. Did everything to sift them out. Came down to 300. You know, it's a bunch of people shouting, you know, the praise of God in all the churches and so forth. You know, but there is no fruit. Their life is not looking like Christ at all. It's just a bunch of shouting and so on. Finally, God will weary them out. Why? When he delays long enough, they will wear out their patience. That's right. He'll weary them out. And even the enemy will come in too and fight against the saints and wear them out. Hello, folks. It's happening already. Families everywhere and so forth. But as we said last time, a devil is only looking for whom he may devour. He cannot devour everybody, folks. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let's go back to this story. And then everybody came and said this and that and so forth. You know, the one that you have given me, I've brought it back with profit. Hallelujah. Listen to what he said in verse 16. Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. Different story here. And he said, well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, you know, I'm going to now give you authority over 10 cities. So you see that this is a little bit different. The other one just said, you have, you know, many more things. But he didn't tell him exactly what it is. Now, this story, you know, illustrated it slightly differently. This guy is now going to be ruler over 10 cities. You know, now we don't even know that he was ruler over anything before. You know, but he was given something to trade with. Hallelujah. The gifts of God are given to every man to profit without. That's right. You better be profiting with it. Not for your own profit, for the body of Christ and the glory of God. Amen. But if you are not producing fruit, you may lose it. So anyway, then the other ones came and they did this and so forth. One other one said, Lord, you know, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. He said, wow. And the Lord gave him, he said, okay, because you have been faithful, be over 5 cities. Now, notice that in this case, it looks a little bit different. At the beginning of the story, we are told that he delivered to his servant 10 pounds. We didn't really know from that first verse how he distributed it until you read the rest of it. So, when you now start reading the rest of it, it seemed like, you know, one person actually got 5. Another person, got this and that and so forth. So this one came. This one came and said, Lord, I pound. Had gained 5 pounds. It could have been 1 pound each that they got. It could have been 2 and 1 here. We don't know. But everybody got something. So I assume that they all got one pound. Just because, you know, they were like that. So, and then, because he said, if you read verse 13, he said, he's 10 servants. And we're told of 10 pounds. So that's why I made the assumption that it's one pound. But we don't know exactly how it distributed. But let's say it's one pound. But one person went and used 1 pound and got 10 pounds. Another person used 1 pound and got 5 pounds. So the Lord looked at the one that used 1 to get 10. He said, wow, I gave you 1, you got 10 more. Now, be thou over 10 cities. This one came by and said, well, you gave me 1, I got 5. Okay, be thou over 5 cities. So you now see, it looks again as if the Lord is saying, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man, according as what his work shall be. So this story, it looks like he's saying what he said in John, in Revelation 21. Now he's bringing his reward. He's looking at their works and so forth. And the Bible says, look, their works do follow them and so on. You know. Now, the Lord, what we are seeing in all these stories, the reward that he is doing is based on their fruitfulness. Amen? Not just to say, well, I'm a believer. Well, so what? You know, these were trees and so forth, but they were not bringing forth any fruit. So, took it away from them. Now, listen to what happened. Look at what happened in verse 21. This other one that didn't do anything, he said, well, I fear thee because thou art an austere man and so forth, and thou, you know, reapest where you gain not, and all that. So he said the same kind of thing. And he said to him, verse 22, well, out of your mouth will I judge thee. Aha. You know, thou wicked servant. And he told him, you know, get the money from him, you know, and all that. He said unto them, verse 24, unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that had 10 pounds. Wow. Not even to the one that had the 5 pounds, but the one that had 10 pounds. And he said, and everybody said, you know, but Lord, he's already got 10. Why are you giving him more? That's exactly how God works. Praise the Lord. For I say unto you that everyone which hath shall be given, and I put my own in parentheses, shall be given even more. And from him that hath not, even that which he seemeth to have shall be taken from him. So that's a serious situation. Even that which he had shall be taken from him. That's a serious situation to be in. Okay. Now, let's go to John chapter 15 and begin to bring this message home. John chapter 15. Here is a story that Jesus now told, a teaching that Jesus gave. This is not a story this time. Jesus is giving them a teaching, using himself as the illustration. I am the vine. Amen? And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Folks, listen to that. Let me read it to us again. Every branch in me, not just every branch. Now, these are branches that are already in Christ. Are you still with me, folks? Jesus said it himself. I am the vine. See? And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that is bearing fruit, he purgeth it so that it may bring forth more fruit. That's how God works. When your life is doing what God wants you to do, he will be giving you even more grace to do even more. But when you are not doing anything, you are in danger of losing even the little gift that he had given you to start with. And there will be, it's not just the loss of that gift, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth at the end. And we don't want to be in that. God forbid. Amen. Now, ye are clean through the word I have spoken unto you. Abide in me,
And I in you. Now, Jesus begins to show them now how they can be fruitful. This is the story of the vine and the fruitful branches. Now, you cannot be fruitful except you abide in him. Now, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Amen? If you see a tree and the branch, one branch is cut down and falling off the tree, you know, soon enough, that branch will wither away because it doesn't have the nourishment from the root and the tap root and everything that the tree provides. So it will not be nourished and it will wither away. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And then men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. Now that's a serious situation. If ye abide in me, well, he gives a wonderful promise here. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Amen. But it's a big if. That if means there are some conditions. You got to do all these things and so forth. Now, herein is my Father glorified, in that ye bear much fruit. Much fruit. That's what God wants us. Not even little fruit. Much fruit. God wants us to bear much fruit. And so shall ye be my disciples. Jesus is saying, you want to be my disciple? Then you better be bringing forth fruit. You want to bring fruit? Then you better abide in me. Now these things are tied together. You cannot bring forth fruit if you are not abiding in him. Hallelujah. And you cannot be his disciple if you are not bringing forth fruit. That's right. So, and then he begins to tell them all these other wonderful things and so on and so forth. So let me leave that verse there. You know, you can read the rest of the chapter on your own. I'm going to also read verse 16 before I move along. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now, if there's anybody here that the Lord has chosen, you can say amen to that. Let me read that to you again. If you hear something nice, you can say amen. Ye have not chosen me, Jesus said, but I have chosen you. That's right. And I have ordained you. That's right. You don't need anybody else to ordain you. That ye should go and bring forth fruit. This is the reason for your being ordained. Is to go, not just for you to wear some collar and parade yourself around. No. To bring forth fruit. I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Hallelujah. That whatsoever you may ask. See, the Father in my name, he may give it unto you. Now, you want your prayers to be answered? Well, you let your life be bearing the kind of fruit that God is looking for. And then God will be answering your prayers. Hallelujah. You won't need to scream and shout. He will be taking care of your business because you are taking care of his business. Hallelujah. Amen. The reason why he leaves us here on earth, why we are saved and not immediately translated or raptured, is to take care of his business. He puts us right here to dress the vineyard. Take care of business. Bring forth fruit. And if you are not doing the thing, you may be doing something else, but you are not doing what he wants. You know, like that fig tree had fruit and leaves and so forth, but it wasn't doing what Christ was looking for. It was cut short. Amen. Now, what is the kind of fruit that he is looking for, though? What kind of fruit is he looking for? Well, let me summarize it. We're going to pick this lesson up next time. There will be a part two of this. But let me just summarize it for you today on account of time. The kinds of fruit that we want, that God is looking for, is every part of our life. First of all, our life must be bringing forth fruit that glorifies God. Amen? That's right. And every aspect of your life, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your schooling, whether it's your job, whether it's your business, whether it's whatever, or even your ministry, whatever that may mean. Everything that we're doing, your relationships, everything must be bringing forth fruit, because he said, be fruitful and multiply. And so if you are not bringing forth fruit, then you are not doing what he wants. Now, soul winning. We've already seen it and heard about it here. You know, the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. He wants us to do these things. But for you to bring forth good fruit, there are some other things you have to do. Think of the farmer. When the farmer wants to farm and so forth, they've got to first do what? Break up their what? Their fallow ground. So you'll find that in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. So this is not a joking business, folks. You need to get a hold, if you have to get a hold of a jug of water and some crackers and go into the bush, so be it. But you got to seek the Lord and get your life straight with God and then come forth and bring fruit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now in the book of Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 3. Turn with me to that. I want to read that quickly. Jeremiah 4 and verse 3. You know, God is going to give us a little bit of wisdom here. A little wisdom. Jeremiah 4, verse 3. Let me read it to you. He says, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground. That's almost similar to what Hosea said, but he put a little twist here. And sow not among thorns. If you don't break forth your fallow ground, there are some things you've got to do in order to be fruitful. Otherwise, you just be sowing and you may not bring forth fruit. The thorns and so forth may be quenching everything. You know, so you got to use wisdom. We'll, like I said, we'll deal more with this topic next time. Now, let's read two more verses here. We'll wrap this up. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, we are giving some insight here as to the kinds of fruit, again, that we should bear. You know, 2 Peter chapter 1 will tell you, you know, certain things that God is looking for in your life. And he also even gives us an understanding here. All right. 1 Peter. It says 2 Peter. But 1 Peter. I got it right the first time. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay, let's look at some of these things that God is looking for. I have my Bible upside down here. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Now, these are some fruit that God expects. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was already purged from his sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Folks, that's our exhortation today. Give diligence to make sure that you are not cast forth like a branch that is withered and that's not producing fruit. You know, for if these things, if you do these things that we have read, the brotherly kindness, the diligence, and all of these things and so forth, ye shall never what? ye shall never fall. But if you don't do these things, you know, you may have danger. For so an entrance shall be given unto you abundantly into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read this last verse of his promise in Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. So, let's bear in mind that the Lord is coming quickly. Next time, I will go by the grace of God deeper into how to bring forth these fruits that God is looking for. And every time we have an opportunity for either Bible study, prayer meeting, or whatever, when I'm there, we're going to be sharing some of these things of how you can bring forth fruit that God is looking for. Praise the Lord. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, somebody, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We are going to pray. I'm not going to call for anybody to come forward. Just stand where you are and pray. One of the things that you want to pray about right now. Lord, help me to be fruitful in my life. Make me to bring forth the kind of fruit that you are looking for. Not what I think, but what you want. I want everybody, throw your hands up and let's spend a few minutes asking God that our lives should be fruitful. Remember, God is looking for fruit. And if you ask for help, He will help you. He will help you to be fruitful in every area of your lives, that your life may be a praise. Remember, we are living epistles to read of all men. God will help your life to be fruitful. God will help you if you ask Him for help. But if you are not bringing forth fruit, if you're not doing anything that is advancing the cause of the Lord, you're not doing anything to expand the kingdom of God, well, especially if you've been a believer for a long time, you are in danger of being cut down. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. But every branch in me that is bringing forth fruit, He purges it, so that it may bring forth more fruit. Father, in the name of Jesus, purge every one of us so that we may bring forth more fruit in Jesus' mighty name. Let us not be like the withered branch that is taken away, but let us be like those that are bearing fruit. And you said, I have chosen you that you should bring forth more fruit and that your fruit should remain. Herein is my Father glorified, and herein shall you be my disciples. Father, grant us the grace to be truly fruitful and to produce the kind of fruit that you are looking for in season and out of season. Whether it is the time of the figs or whether it is the season or not the season, help us that our lives may be producing the kind of fruit that you are looking for. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Everybody says amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That's the end of that right there. We'll pick it up next time. I want the praise team to come back up to the stage, if you would, please, so that we can prepare our offerings. Prepare your offering. If you have any questions about what has been spoken today, feel free to ask me during the week. I'll be glad to expand it unto you. Until next time, when we will pick it up and have an opportunity to go deeper. Prepare your offerings right now. Praise team, please come back up for some music to help us with our offering. And don't forget, after service, we will be having the marriage workshop. We invite everybody to come. We will be in the main banquet hall this time in the main banquet hall. That's where we're going to be. So after service, please make your way to the main banquet hall. When your offering is ready, you may come forward during the singing at any time and put your offering in any of the two baskets that are up here. One over there and one over there. Praise the Lord. All right, the praise team will lead us. You can start singing at any time and people can bring their offering forward. Let's spend a few minutes asking God that our lives should be fruitful. Remember, God is looking for fruit. And if you ask for help, He will help you. He will help you to be fruitful in every area of your lives, that your life may be a praise. Remember, we are living epistles to read of all men. God will help your life to be fruitful. God will help you if you ask Him for help. But if you are not bringing forth fruit, if you are not doing anything that is advancing the cause of the Lord, you are not doing anything to expand the kingdom of God, well, especially if you've been a believer for a long time, you are in danger of being cut down. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. But every branch in me that is bringing forth fruit, He purges it so that it may bring forth more fruit. Father, in the name of Jesus, purge every one of us so that we may bring forth more fruit in Jesus' mighty name. Let us not be like the withered branch that is taken away, but let us be like those that are bearing fruit. And You said, I have chosen you that you should bring forth more fruit and that your fruit should remain. Herein is My Father glorified, and herein shall you be My disciples. Father, grant us the grace to be truly fruitful and to produce the kind of fruit that You are looking for in season and out of season. Whether it is the time of the figs, or whether it is the season or not the season, help us that our lives may be producing the kind of fruit that You are looking for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Everybody says, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.